Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
What do you think you are? I am.
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Welcome into On the Docket. It is Friday through another week. And we've got some Detroit sports to talk about on the program today. Of course, we've got the Pistons and Red Wings both in action this evening. It's crazy. We didn't have any sports in the area last night. Nothing to recap. So it's pretty much just a preview show today. Got the Pistons, Red Wings, of course, in action tonight. We've got the Lions in action on Sunday afternoon on the road against the Washington Commanders. And we're going to dive right into that Lions-Commanders matchup. As the Lions, of course, coming in off of their worst game of the season, and this has been a team that's been kind of scuffling as of late. So we kind of look at their season as a whole. They came out really flat against the Packers, combined with the Packers coming out with a A++ effort in that first half especially. And the Lions able to bounce back. They reel off a four-game winning streak. They looked mostly good in a 52-21 domination against the Bears. And then, probably in my opinion, best win of the season against the Ravens. 38-30 on Monday Night Football. Of course, dominated the Browns and Bengals, who are poor teams. And then in the three games since, been a little bit rough, at least in terms of the offensive side of the ball. Problems started showing up against the Chiefs, 30-17 loss, and then the Buccaneers. That was all defense that won that game for the Lions, 24-9 win, which in itself was a really big win. That one and the Ravens wins, probably, of course, the two best wins of the season for this Lions team. Bye week in week 8, and then coming out in week 9 last week, just bad in all facets. Losing 27-24 against the Minnesota Vikings at home. So this team, of course, known for bouncing back in a strong way, especially when they play as bad as they did last week. So the Lions, I think they have a good opportunity, especially for Jared Goff. Not that he's been, you know, bad in this offensive stretch. It's just like the offense as a whole has really not been good. And there are times in that, with that said, that Jared Goff, you know, has missed passes that he normally should have on point. So I think Jared Goff is going to be in for a big game in this one as Washington's defense. I mean, overall, you know, they're a bottom third NFL team in terms of defense overall, but specifically passing defense is like bottom three in the entire NFL. So you got Jared Goff. You got, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. And I think this team's got to really be ready to lock and load, throw the deep ball, especially in this one. So Jared Goff, I think especially, he's got to have a big game for this Lions team. Amon-Ra St. Brown as well. I mean, he's had a couple of uncharacteristic dropped passes in the last couple of weeks as well. So I think the passing game is going to be critical for the Lions in this one offensively. Got to really take advantage as well on first and second down, because the third down struggles of this team have been an issue the whole season. But especially in that last game against the Vikings, when you're consistently seeing third and long, every time you see a third down, of course, it's going to be difficult to convert many of them at all. Meanwhile, if you have success on first and second down, if you're consistently seeing, well, A, just getting first downs on first and second down, obviously that's how you move your offense up and down the field quickly. But if you still have success on first and second down, you know, minimizing those third downs to only like maybe a third and one, third and two, maybe a third and three. Try to get within 3 yards, and that puts yourself up for success on third down. But if every third down you're seeing, you know, third and eight, third and nine, you know, that's not good. And then, of course, we get a weak, you know, lateral pass, screen pass, whatever, or a run up the gut. No. Can't be having that, none of that nonsense, especially against this defense. Meanwhile, Washington offensively, kind of middle of the pack, kind of on the low end of that kind of middle third of the NFL in terms of offense, but this team excels with the running game, especially with Kroski Merritt. He's had a pretty big season so far for the Washington Commanders, and it's going to start with this guy. Passing game is not really going to be there, I don't think, as much for this Commanders team. No Jaden Daniels, of course. It's going to be Marcus Mariota getting the start, who has really not been good. If you kind of compare his numbers with the other 32 NFL teams, if you compare with all 32 NFL teams, starting quarterbacks, I mean, Marcus Mariota towards the bottom. Not that Jaden Daniels was having that spectacular of a season when he has played, because he has missed some other games with injuries as well. I mean, he's still a lot better than Marcus Mariota. So Marcus Mariota is the guy this week for Washington. And it actually doesn't seem like Jaden Daniels is going to be out too terribly long. Some news coming out today that Jaden Daniels avoids landing on the IR, but we will be re-evaluated in 2 weeks. So, but again, it doesn't matter. This was going to be Marcus Mariota's game anyways. And the Lions, I think, big keys here for me are you got to get going on first and second downs and make those third downs a lot more manageable than seeing third and eight, third and nines every single time. Got to finish drives in this one. And two, I mean, speaking of third down, you got to get those critical third down stops. It seemed like the Vikings, they were able to come through time. Now, again, overall, I don't think the Vikings looked great in that win against the Lions, but obviously they won. But the Vikings were able to get that critical third down when they needed it most, even on third and longs. Lions got to get those third down stops. Philosophy's the same, offense and defense. You got to execute on third down. And third key, limit the bloody penalties. Come on. I mean, that was almost single-handedly the undoing factor for this Lions team against the Vikings. I mean, you are shooting yourself in the foot time and time again, both on offense and on defense. You have bad defensive penalties come in that bail out the Vikings offense when they need to move the ball and it looks like their offense is sputtering. And Lions had great drives that were erased because of ill-timed penalties here and there. So there's my keys for this one against the Commanders. Offense has to execute on first and second down and make the third downs a little bit easier to handle. Second key is to get defensive stops on third down. Third key, limit the penalties. And, of course, a side note there, I think Jared Goff's got to have a big game for this Lions team. I mean, when he is, you know, having one of those big games, he's completing a high percentage of his passes. He's throwing for like, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. You know, that's when this team is really, really rolling. And a big part of course, last week, you know, more the team's overall struggles with the passing game. Not that Jared Goff had that bad of a game, but I mean, the Lions kind of uncharacteristically had a extremely bad game from the offensive line. Really couldn't stop the pass rush. And the Lions' running game, shockingly, was ineffective against the Vikings, who have had pretty poor rushing defense all season. So when you pretty much, you know, take away an entire aspect of the offense, it makes the other part of it a lot easier to cover. So, you know, when the running game was ineffective, made it all that more easy for Minnesota to really limit Jared Goff's effectiveness and Amon Ross St. Brown's effectiveness and Jameson Williams' effectiveness. But I do think the Lions will bounce back in a big way. This team has demonstrated that in the past, and I mean, this Washington team is not looking good right now. They're not in a good spot. Of course, Jaden Daniels hurt. Definitely, you know, pun intended, hurts this team. But this team is coming off of four straight losses. Bears, Cowboys, Chiefs, and Seahawks. So the last two against better teams, but Cowboys, Bears, of course, you know, that Bears loss, a heartbreaker. But still, four straight losses. This team does want to get back in the win column, but this Washington team is trending down fast, and the Lions have to capitalize. They missed a big opportunity. Very, very winnable game last week against the Vikings, and in a very competitive top of the NFC. You can't afford to give away these games like this, especially with some big tests coming up for the rest of the month, of course, with the Eagles next week, and then the Packers on Thanksgiving. Really got to take advantage of these lesser opponents when they come your way. Red Wings back on the ice tonight, taking on the New York Rangers, and not only back on the ice, but back on home ice at the friendly confines of Little Caesars Arena. Going to preview that matchup on the other side. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell, Hotspot, Bellinote, Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and our friends at Polly's Country Market. Whether it's the My Rewards program, buy five, save five deals in store, weekly produce sales, and more. Lots of money to be saved by shopping at Polly's Country Market. See the deals online, country-markets.com, for their weekly ad specials. Polly's Country Market. Shop in store today. Red Wings back on home ice against the New York Rangers against a pretty successful Western road trip, 3-2 record, but coming off a pretty tough loss, 1-0 against the Vegas Golden Knights, where, you know, the Red Wings played really well in that game, but unfortunately that's how sports works sometimes. And back on home ice, where the Red Wings are 5-1 on the season. Now, it is a little bit of an interesting tidbit with that as well. So the Red Wings are 5-1 at home, 4-4 on the road. Meanwhile, the New York Rangers, I don't think I've ever seen this before. The Rangers are 6-1-1 on the road, 0-5-1 at home. I don't think I've ever seen that before, where you have a team be just complete garbage at home, but be exceptionally good on the road. You just really don't see that. So a little bit of an odd start to the season for the Rangers, but I mean, they've demonstrated they can get wins on the road. Meanwhile, the Red Wings have demonstrated that they could get wins at home. So Red Wings will try to get back in the win column tonight against the Rangers. We got Cam Talbot in net, confirmed, who has been great this season. He's got a 5-1 record in net. 276 goals against average, just a tick under a 90% save percentage. Jonathan Quick in net for the New York Rangers. 135 goals against average, 941 save percentage. He's had a terrific year for the New York Rangers this season. So the Red Wings, 9-5 overall. A lot of home games coming up for this team this month. As they got this one tonight, they'll be back at it on Sunday against the Chicago Blackhawks at home as well. And Red Wings looks like they're getting Patrick Kane back tonight as well. Only played the first five games of the season before going down with a upper body injury or lower body injury. I mean, it's hockey. You got a 50-50 chance at getting it right. Because for whatever reason, hockey likes to be extremely vague with their injury reporting. But anyways, that's good news for the Red Wings. Getting Patrick Kane back. Actually, nobody on the injury report as of right now. So it's always good when your team has a totally clean bill of health as they start this homestand. Again, the Rangers tonight, they got the Blackhawks on Sunday, and then they got 3 days off. Take on the Anaheim Ducks at home on Thursday of next week. Saturday against the Sabres. And then back on the road against the Rangers the following Sunday. And then they got three more at home. Seattle, New York Islanders, and the Blue Jackets. And this is when the Red Wings really got to pick up these wins. Especially with a little bit of a tougher December coming up. Especially with a lot of road games. They got a six-game road trip, as a matter of fact, at the beginning of December. And this Red Wings team just needs to keep it up, needs to keep up this momentum that they've gotten during this great start, because that's something they haven't gotten in the last several seasons, is starting off the season strong. Of course, you know, definitely couldn't really ask for much more in the first 14 games of the season, but got to find a way to keep this going through December, going into the second half of the season, because this Red Wings team has really not been able to get off to a great start. It's where, you know, they start off especially awfully in the case of last season with Uncle Fester there behind the bench. But then they, of course, found a way once Todd McClellan took over as head coach. They got hot in January and February, and then post-All-Star break, post-trade deadline, the team really struggled, and then, of course, ultimately ended up missing the playoffs after briefly flirting with a playoff spot when they got hot for those 2 months. And it was kind of the same case as the year before. Team struggled the first 2 months. At the end of December, they got hot all the way through about, you know, early March. And then that brutal 7-game pointless streak basically eliminated them from the playoffs. They tied, of course, in terms of points with the Washington Capitals, who were the last team in. But due to the tiebreaker, missing the playoffs by literally a single point. Red Wings right now tied for second place in the Atlantic Division. Montreal still continuing their good start, 20 points in 14 games. Red Wings 18 and 14. Boston 18 and 16. See, I mean, just look at that. For a little bit, they were dead last in the division, and now they're all the way up to third because it's still very early. And even so, 6 points separating Montreal and Buffalo from the top and the bottom of the division. So the Red Wings at 9-5 look to keep the home cooking tonight against the New York Rangers. Puck drop will be at 7 o'clock. And we will cut to live coverage of that game. I believe we'll pick it up in progress after the conclusion of the Lumen Christi Napoleon football game this evening. That one also, of course, kicking off at 7 there in WKHM, which, speaking of, I mean, I was going to bring it up later in the program anyways, but 3 high school football games around our radio network this evening. Of course, that Lumen Napoleon game on WKHM. We've also got Hanover Horton Bronson on 95.9 The Power Cow, and then Michigan Center and Father Gabriel Richard. All those games at 7, pregame at 6:45. Lumen Napoleon, WKHM, Hanover on 95.9 The Power Cow, and then Michigan Center on K105.3. So whenever that Lumen Napoleon game ends, we will join that Red Wings game in progress. Probably get the third period, if I were to guess. At least most of the third period. So there you go. Detroit Tigers news. Gleyber Torres is one of 13 MLB free agents that has been extended a qualifying offer of $22 million, a one-year $22 million contract offered for next season. And if Gleyber Torres, of course, accepts it, he will, of course, stay with the Tigers for next season. If he declines it and then ends up signing with another team, the Tigers will get a compensatory draft pick from Major League Baseball. Player can only receive a qualifying offer once in his career. So, again, Gleyber Torres, one of the 13 free agents in the MLB that have been extended a qualifying offer. So that's definitely a guy I would like to see stick around with the Tigers. Gleyber Torres had a really, really solid season last year. Bounce back season. Able to make the All-Star game. Really solid guy at second base for this Tigers team. Other baseball news while we're talking baseball. This was an interesting hire. So the Rockies are trying to pretty much totally redo how they do things. The Rockies are terrible. They were barely better than the historically bad White Sox from a year prior this past season. Got rid of their head of baseball operations. Of course, fired their manager early in the season. Well, interesting hire. Rockies hiring Paul DePodesta as their new head of baseball operations, who, of course, spent some time with the A's during their Moneyball era between 1999 and 2003. But he spent the last 10 seasons with the Cleveland Browns, which is pretty interesting. So the Rockies, I mean, of course, this guy has some MLB experience in the front office, but reaching over to the NFL. And the Rockies actually, I'm told, interviewed several guys for this job, but some of those guys outright turning down the position. Yeah, it's not a good position to have. Not really a highly sought-after position to try to rebuild that Colorado Rockies organization, which is just awful. They're in such a bad spot. I mean, that's a team that doesn't really have any stars per se on the team. Like a true, you know, grade A guy where it's like, okay, you're building your team around this guy. And of course, they just drafted one of the Holiday kids in this past MLB draft. But other than that, they don't really have any big prospects coming up the pipeline. And obviously it's going to take several years before that Holiday kid even sees the major leagues. But yeah, this is a bad, bad baseball team. So very interesting hiring right there. We're going to switch things up on the other side. We've got the Knutson's Outdoor Report with the Mark W. Daly and Tom Knutson from Knutson's Sporting Goods. That's coming up in 3 minutes. This is On the Docket on this TGIF edition of the program.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery. Weekdays at noon. No sleep till.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and our friends at Kettlebell Hotspot. You could burn up to 20 calories per minute with a well-structured kettlebell workout, which is the equivalent as a 6-minute mile. And 6-minute miles are really difficult to run. But you could do that with a kettlebell workout and without the same wear and tear on your joints. It's Kettlebell Hotspot. Join the team today, Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor, where your functional fitness begins. This morning, the Mark W. Daly, able to catch up with Tom Knutson of Knutson's Sporting Goods with the weekly segment known as the Knutson's Outdoor Report.
It's time for the Knutson's Outdoor Report. Tom, hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing this morning?
And I'm doing well, doing really well. I'm, you know, just you're reading the forecast, seeing that we've got snow coming up in the forecast, and but it just kind of makes me look forward to those colder temperatures and seeing some of those lakes freeze over, Tom. I know we're going to be talking about that a little bit later, but I can't lie. That's kind of where my mind's going at the moment, looking forward to ice fishing. I know we're a ways away from
we're
it.
We're a ways away from that.
We're a ways away from it, but, you know.
But if you're in Saskatoon or in Alaska, my guess is in some of those places that early ice anglers up there might be getting their gear out already.
Yeah. Well, we'll circle back to ice fishing here in a little bit, and that's where we'll wrap up our conversation. But, Tom, it's that we got that first snow, and it feels like deer hunting kind of ticks up a little bit once those temperatures drop. And from the bow season, we're talking about the buck bull, but with the bow season, how are things looking right now here in the Jackson area?
Big change in the last week for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The weather, not so much the weather. It's got really nothing to do with the weather.
Okay.
The calendar says to the female bucks, or not to the female bucks, but to the does,
that it's doe,
time to do what you got to do and to produce, get ready for next year's offspring. And the bucks are all in on that game, and a big change in when you listen to the hunters. You can tell when the rut is on and the
gotcha.
Rut is on.
Okay. So then why does it feel like, I ask because I don't know, I'm not that much of a hunter, but when the colder temperatures hit, that feels like that's when they want to get out. It feels like they're running more. I don't know. It just feels like it ticks up a bit once we get down below freezing.
It's just coincidental and coinciding with the calendar for the most part.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, it really is. I mean, if you take a look, it's, you know, the snow that we're going to get probably... It's minimal, but I mean, it happens 3-4 times out of 10 years,
yeah.
You know, right around this time. You know, I mean, and then the other 6-7 times, it's, you know, kind of a normal feel. So it's just coincidental. You know, I've seen this snow show up on the 15th. I've seen this first snow show up, you know, when it's going to show up, it's right on time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, within a week to 10 days, either way of the 15th, this is when you get that first dusting of snow, and makes you think about winter. Because guess what? We're not to fall yet, or we're not done with fall yet. We still got about 6 weeks before we get to December 24th. Oh, way more than that. 8 weeks till we get to the 21st of December.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
I guess, yeah, not 8 weeks, 6 weeks.
And they're somewhere. We'll go with the ballpark.
Yeah, winter does not start till December 21st, so okay. We're a ways away yet.
Ways away, yeah. All right, so how has the buck competition been going with Knutson's? Have you had a lot coming in?
Yeah, much more. Much more. Big increase over the beginning of the season, over the last, at least since I've been back, Sunday. I mean, I got back on Saturday afternoon and came to work on Sunday, and I spent a lot of time on Sunday doing, you know, weighing deer. So,
mm-hmm.
And it was probably the second biggest deer day of the season at that point, and some big deer have been coming in steadily. I'm looking at, you know, everybody down here has the fancy dancy cameras to your phone, and I'm seeing everybody while they're working going, oh, I should be in this stand right now because there's a big one in front of it, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, we see that. And, you know, the guys that are getting out are seeing big deer every day. So, you know, it's not connecting always, but seeing stuff. So,
right.
And I'm even since I got back, you know, before I left, I was a little leery about EHD and how much damage it had done in the area. My deer in my neighborhood kind of disappeared and got me wondering. And since I've been back, I probably had to stop in the road probably 6 times for a buck chasing a doe across the road. So,
yeah.
And basically all the way from Minnesota back into Michigan, there were tons of dead deer on the road, and almost every one of them was a buck.
Oh, wow.
So I would say that we are in the full swing of the rut.
Gotcha. And, you know, bow season going on now, but Tom, next Saturday, 1 week from tomorrow, That's going to be a big day.
It's going to be a very big day, Mark.
Very big day.
First time in 11 years we open up deer season on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 11 years already. I mean, it seems like we, Jamie and I were fighting, you know, trying to get that change, and I kind of vowed that we wouldn't have to wait the 11 years, and smarter heads would prevail, and common sense would say, we can't keep doing this, and guess what? I lost. Yeah. I lost that bet.
Wow. Well,
hopefully when the numbers show up and they go, wow, you know, we killed more deer this year, and wow, there was more license sold, and wow, you know, and they go, huh, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
It's only simple. It's Saturday.
Right. Yeah. So Saturday opener, and also the big dog, or the big dog buck polls, what's happening on our website. Of course, Knudsen's one of our sponsors on that, but the Knudsen's buck poll, is huge. I was out there last year for it. I was marveled at how big it was. I can only imagine how big it's going to be with the Saturday opener.
It's going to be quite busy for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. People will have time in between. You know, people are not going to be working. You know, there's always some people that got to work, but there's no school to deal with. There's no, you know, there's just so much opportunity next Saturday. And I hope everybody gets out and enjoys it and maybe understands why Saturday is the best option for for opening any of our seasons in this beautiful state of Michigan.
And may you get your buck early and get it over to the Knudsen's Buck Pole on Wamplers Lake Road in beautiful Brooklyn. And, Tom, there's a lot of prizes going to be up for grabs, right?
Oh, a lot of prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we can fit about $75 on that pole. I expect that we'll probably hit that this year. Fairly early, and it's, you know, the random draw is definitely a big thing for everybody, and the prizes have been gathered, the random draw stuff has been gathered, the big prizes, you know, the $600 random, you know, for any buck on the pole still sitting there at 6 o'clock, you know, heaviest weight, most points, and then of course, you know, random. I mean, you know, everybody's going to get a prize, not, including the famous buck pole hat and certificate. And so the only way to get that stuff is bring your deer. And guess what it costs? Zero to our customers. First come, first serve. Get the deer on the pole, and there's zero cost to you.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's like, it's got to be like the last free buck pole standing, Tom.
Well, I mean, it is the largest free buck pole in the state of Michigan.
For sure.
You know, the one that doesn't cost a dime. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to bring it in to get it processed. You don't have to do anything other than bring your deer here, let it hang for a few hours, pick it up, and then go take it to another buck pole and do whatever you can with it. That's up to you.
Yeah.
You know, after the first day. And again, we only do it opening day, you know, because we do it upright. And it takes so many people to do it that opening day is our big one.
Well, and it was my first one experiencing it with you last year. And you could tell you guys have it down pat. When someone comes in with the buck, it gets up on the buck pole quickly. It gets weighed. Well, it gets weighed. It gets up on the buck pole quickly. And it's right there on Wamplers Lake Road in beautiful Brooklyn at Knudsen's, Tom. It's, I mean, it's just really a place where the community comes together on opening day. You've got those who have their bucks who put them up. They hang out. They're talking with other hunters. You've got families out there. You've got kids who got their first buck. And people just kind of hang out, have a good time, enjoy it. And it's just a good time to get people together.
It is. Yeah, it is. Especially, you know, it happens, you know, I mean, the people bring deer in, they come in, go, but it's about between that 10 and 2 o'clock is when, you know, people come out of the woods and they come to see what's going on, to see how the harvest is going. And then that group that comes in to pick up their deer, plus the ones that are bringing in their deer from the afternoon hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets kind of real busy about that, between that 5 and 7 o'clock period.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's for a long day for all my employees, and I appreciate everything that they do to pull this off every single year. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love seeing moms and dads there with their sons and daughters and kids getting their first buck and getting that up on the pole. Maybe it's not the biggest buck, but it's their first buck, and how proud those kids are and how proud the parents are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It surely is, especially the ones that do it during regular season.
Yeah.
It's a lot more of accomplishment for them at that point, for sure.
Right. So what time does it start, Tom?
We open the doors at 8 o'clock every morning, okay. So we can take it at 8, but you better. The odds are if you bring one in at 8 o'clock, we'd have to kind of question that one, because that'd be a little early.
A little early, okay. But it goes up until 6.
It goes up. That's when we start doing the I think it's 5:30 when we do the drawing.
Okay, all right.
So, yep.
Any prizes that you'd like to highlight?
Like I say, the $600 is the big one for the random draw. You know, again, just got to be hanging on the pole at that time. And, there's gift certificates for restaurants and gift certificates for gas stations and gift certificates for, Knutson logo wear. And there's some deer processings and, all $50 values or more. So,
yeah.
It's very hard not to to walk away with a little bit of value when you hang a deer on a pole here.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm paying you to put a deer on the pole.
Looking ahead a little bit, let me just, in the springtime, Tom, I'm usually getting my poles ready in April so I can be ready for May. And it's this time of year I start getting my stuff ready for ice fishing just in case, because we get ice sometimes in December. So I want to make sure I'm ready for when the ice forms. Are you starting to see people turning their attention to ice fishing right now, Tom?
Absolutely, and we have done some attention turning to the aisle that we call the ice fishing aisle. The summer stuff that was in there has now been put away, and there's been some ice fishing stuff put up. Haven't got much merchandise in yet, but you're going to see that because I've been working on that here, since I've been back, and it's going to take me about 4 or 5 weeks to get everything kind of lined up and going on that end. But we will be running, shortly after Thanksgiving, the store will make a big transformation again and turn into a nice fishing store right around Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. Well, and even around that time, Tom, you're still in buck season too.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to, being that deer season or a buck or Thanksgiving is late.
Yeah.
Later on the later side this year, we'll probably see around that 24th, we'll start making our move and doing some changes.
Right.
Plus, we got a little something different going on, starting on the 28th for us.
What's happening on the 28th? Well, Can I ask, or is that?
That will be the beginning of the Christmas sale. We've never done it right after Christmas, over being as late as it is this year, we decided let's try it. Let's start it after Christmas or right after Thanksgiving. So that'll start on the 28th.
Oh wow! All right, I love there's two sales every year that I love the most. It's the end of season preseason sale and it's the Christmas sale at Knutson's. Those are my two favorite sales.
Absolutely, absolutely. It'll expand over 1, 2, 3, 4 weekends.
Okay.
For us, so which is going to be the longest sale we've ever had.
Oh wow! All right. Well, definitely looking forward to that then. Looking ahead just a little bit, and in no means overlooking the buck poll, because opening weekend we're going to be out there broadcasting live on two of our McKibben Media Group stations. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to seeing a lot of people and just having that sense of community. Yep, Knutson's becomes the collection place for Brooklyn and beyond. Coming up on Saturday, Tom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll talk more about it again on Friday next week.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Anything left untouched here, Tom, that we need to talk about that we didn't get to?
I think we covered pretty much everything. Get out there and go fishing if you want.
It's cold, but do it, right?
It's cold, but definitely the fish are biting.
They are? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And I know we've talked about this before. You could use your ice fishing gear now. Now's like the time to even, just put it over the side of the boat. And do a little jigging. Take your flasher out there with you, and find them that way. Right?
Absolutely.
All right, Tom. As always, we appreciate the conversation and looking forward to talking with you next week.
All right, Mark. You take her easy.
So there you go. There was TMWD in his weekly conversation with Tom Knutson of Knutson's Sporting Goods in the weekly Knutson's Outdoor Report. We're wrapping up the show on the other side, chatting a little Pistons basketball. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bonote Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and check out our newly redesigned website, foxsports1019.com. We've got, of course, On the Docket, all of the episodes you can listen on demand. You can also listen live on the docket there. You can listen to the high school archives that we have of all the football and basketball and even baseball games that we've broadcasted over the years. We got those all archived. And, of course, we've got your extended weather forecast as well. Weather alerts up to the minute whenever there's severe weather. Weather alerts brought to you by Tom Coffee Softwater, Aeroquip Credit Union, Brook and Plumbing Heating and Air Conditioning, Trips Collision, and Wolverine Seal Coating. That's FoxSports1019.com. Check it all out today. Detroit Pistons back in action tonight. They're on the heels of a four-game winning streak, able to beat the Magic, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, and then the Jazz. So, of course, the Magic are off to a little bit of a rough start this season in the East, and then, of course, three struggling Western Conference teams. Now they're back at it against another struggling Eastern Conference team, the Brooklyn Nets, who are just awful. This is such an awful team. 1-7. And, I mean, yikes. They were already awful last year, but, I mean, this is going to be another pretty extended rebuild for the Nets, in my opinion. They're led by MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., formerly of my Denver Nuggets before they unfathomably decided to totally overpay him. They threw him like a 5-year max contract that he didn't deserve before he even hit restricted free agency. I mean, the thing is, off a rookie deal, especially if you're a first-round pick, you're under contract for usually 4 years, and then you hit restricted free agency, which means you can match any other team's offer. And then after that, you hit unrestricted free agency. And generally, it's smart to just let them hit restricted free agency, because you can match any team's offer. Even if you plan on signing him to a max deal, you should just wait, because you can match any team's offer. And if no other team offers him a max offer, hey, you get him at a discount. And the only reason it makes sense to sign him early is if you're signing him cheaper than he probably will get on the open market in restricted free agency. But the Nuggets, nope, we're going to give you a full max contract before you even see restricted free agency. And then he actually got hurt that season and missed most of the season. So if they waited, they could have gotten him way cheaper. But anyways, they shipped him off to shred that salary. And now he's free to take all the jump shots he wants with the Brooklyn Nets. And he is averaging a season-high 22 points. A career-high, I should say, 22 points. So the Nets, what I'm getting at is the Nets are a terrible, terrible basketball team. The Pistons, if you ask me at the end of the day, they should be able to win their fifth game in a row in this one. Looking at the injury report, Caris LeVert is a game-time decision. Tobias Harris is out once again. Of course, he missed the team's last game as well. So the Pistons at 6-2, second seed in the Eastern Conference so far. They should be able to win their fourth game in a row, which would be the second longest winning streak in the NBA. Both the Lakers and the Rockets are actually on 5-game winning streaks right now. So the Pistons could match that with a win tonight. Granted, the Rockets or Lakers don't win, which the Rockets do play tonight. By the way, the Rockets, their last loss, as a matter of fact, was against the Detroit Pistons. Shows you, again, a great win early on there for this Detroit basketball team. But, yeah, should be a win tonight. 10.5-point favorite against the Brooklyn Nets on the road. So, should be able to handedly take this one, in my opinion. And it'll be NBA Cup play tonight. So, the Pistons will take on the Nets on a, you know, a different colored court, which I don't know about you, but I can't stand. I hate this NBA Cup thing. It's nonsense. None of the players care about it. I mean, it's another one of those things that Adam Silver threw at the wall, hoping it'll stick, hoping it'll generate an increase in viewership. Which, I mean, maybe it did the first year they did it, but, I mean, last year, it's like, who cares? And same thing this year. Nobody cares about this in-season tournament. It's just comical. So anyways, that's what is on the hardwood tonight, is the cup play for the NBA Cup, which nobody cares about. This is probably the last time I'm talking about it, as a matter of fact, because it's just so insignificant. Other news in the world of the National Basketball Association, Damon Jones, who is one of the main NBA faces attached to the gambling scandal, pleads not guilty to selling injury secrets and profiting from rigged poker. Which, I mean, what else is he going to plead? You know? So they're going to fight it in court. But, I mean, not looking good. I mean, I'm pretty sure in the initial investigation that they released, they outright released text messages from Damon Jones, pretty much saying something along the lines of, like, oh, yeah, I don't know, if I were you, I would bet heavily on the Bucks tonight. Because LeBron James or Anthony Davis or whatever were going to be out, but they were not announced as out yet. And then said something about, hey, we'll get that back. I don't know. I don't have the actual text messages in front of me, but it was something along those lines, which seems pretty damning to me. So, not surprising. Damon Jones pleading not guilty to selling injury secrets and profiting from rigged poker. So he, yikes. Good luck fighting that charge, if you will. Speaking of the NBA as well, in the gambling scandal, they're going to be working with sportsbooks to review the bets most vulnerable to manipulation. Spoiler alert, it's the prop bets. It's always going to be the prop bets, and that's always been the problem with these bets right here. Obviously, it's an issue ahead of time in terms of any sort of bet, like even a betting line, because maybe a team's best players are going to be out and, okay, bet on the under or whatever if that team's the favorite. But, you know, the prop bets seem to be the big ones where a player knows they're hurt, knows they're going to leave the game early. So, you know, people will bet on the under on their individual performances, points, rebounds, assists. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that it's the prop bets that are most vulnerable. So, yeah, it's not going to take a genius to figure that one out. But that's the world we live in today, with sports betting pretty much in everybody's pocket, when it used to be you could only go to Vegas and bet on sports. And that's what it's come to. And that's what this show has come to, as we're now at the end of another day, another week. Go Pistons, go Red Wings, go Lions, of course. Don't forget Michigan Center, Hanover Horton, Napoleon, and Lumen Christi, all in action on our radio network this evening. Goodbye, everybody. See you Monday. We'll be right back.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.